Today, I want to start a sermon series called Spirit-Led. And in this, the first of the series, I want to entitle it Introducing Our Leader. If we're going to be Spirit-Led, we have to get to know who it is that we're following. And so we believe as a church that the Holy Spirit has been given to us to lead us into every aspect of truth and our inheritance. He's the member of the Godhead who is now presiding over the church. Jesus went back to be at the right hand of the Father, and he said, it's good for you that I go. It's better for you that I go, because I'm going to go, and then I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to be with you, and he'll be with you collectively. And so the Holy Spirit is the member of the Godhead who's been given to come in the earth and over the church, and he is not some law that has been written down to which we must adhere. He is a person who wants to guide us into all truth. And we're going to talk a little bit about that next week, the juxtaposition between the law and the Spirit. But in the old covenant, you had to obey the law. But in the new covenant, if you obey the Spirit, you're set free from every other law. And so this idea that we should be led by the Holy Spirit is the unique privilege of a New Testament church. And it is the call of believers that you and I should walk in a vital walk with the Holy Spirit and relationship. And he's the one that we're called to be familiar with and to follow and to obey, and being led by him ought to be our deliberate habit and focus. Now, sometimes there's a big debate in the church right at this moment, and there are two extremes. There is an extreme on this one end, I'm going to exaggerate for the purpose of illustration, that says the Holy Spirit will never speak to you directly. Sure, he's going to be doing what Jesus said, but you're never going to perceive what he's doing. You're never going to understand it. He's going to do it to you and on your behalf, and there's basically nothing you can do about it. So don't expect to hear his voice, but he will be faithful to what Jesus said. That's on the one extreme. The other extreme over here is that you can do nothing but that from a direct word from the Holy Spirit. So you get up and you eat what the Holy Spirit tells you to eat, and there's these two extremes. And I think the sliding scale is, where do we fit in between these two? Because some people say, no. Maybe the Holy Spirit will speak to you, but it'll be once or twice in your lifetime, and that's not up to you. And then there's some people who go, well, I think the Holy Spirit wants to talk to you about everything. He wants to speak to you about what's going on in your life. He wants to counsel you and give you wisdom. And I think, my personal opinion, you say, Greg, where do you stand on this one? I think it depends on what you believe, because the basic principle Jesus enunciated is, according to your faith, it'll be done to you. So if you believe he'll never speak to you but once maybe in your life, then you're going to have one time that you hear God's voice, and that's wonderful. Enjoy it. And if you believe that he speaks regularly and often about everything, then that's what you're going to experience, and enjoy that. Praise God. So there you go. Now, some people, I think there is an extreme on this end. Some people can't do anything, but the Holy Spirit never told me to do that. You know, but I'm saying, well, there are certain things that the Holy Spirit expects you to be doing. He expects you to walk in the truth that you have. So if you've heard and you've been taught and you've been discipled in the Word of God, then the Holy Spirit expects you to get on with that. He's not going to give you a direct call. Well, I'm not going to work today because the Holy Spirit never told me. No, Jesus said, if you won't work, you mustn't eat. That's the principle. So, well, I didn't hear the Holy Spirit telling me to go to work today. Well, you don't have to hear him about that. You know that the Bible says that there's some things that are given to common sense and the truth of the Scriptures, and that the Holy Spirit's not going to repeat that. He's going to expect you to get on with the revelation he's given you. So when he speaks to you and when you get an understanding of something and you've got it, he goes, great, now let's move on. Keep going. You get that under your belt, and you're faithful with that, and that's where he expects. Now, he's going to speak to you about other things in addition to that. So he's going to assume that you're growing in knowledge, and you're growing in grace, and you're growing in faith, and you're growing in your love for other people. So his perspective is that your familiarity with the Word of God and the application of wisdom are the things that you are going to employ when you don't have a specific connection or specific word from him. Is that making sense? So I'm saying that sometimes the Holy Spirit is going to speak to you, and you'll hear his voice crystal clear, and he'll speak to you about all sorts of, all manners of things, and you can get up and do whatever he says is a grand adventure. But when you get to a place where you haven't heard specifically from the Holy Spirit, then you go, well, what do I know to be true? I'm just going to walk in that direction. It's not like you have to wait until the Holy Spirit tells you everything. He expects you to get on and do some things. I suspect that sometimes the Holy Spirit will not give you the answer, because if I could hear every answer about every situation directly from the Holy Spirit, I would have no need for the body of Christ. I would have no need to submit myself to spiritual leaders when I'm unsure. I would have no need for other people's prayers because I'd hear it and I'd be off. And so sometimes the Holy Spirit is not going to fight against himself. He's not going to work against what he's trying to produce because he's trying to produce the unity of the body of Christ. And so sometimes he's going to make you so that you need the rest of the body of Christ. Am I talking to anybody yet? So here's the point. Sometimes you go, well, I'm going to hear God. And then you don't hear God. You go, well, something wrong. There's sin in my life. No, there's no sin in your life. It's the issue that the Holy Spirit is trying to teach you that you need the body of Christ. And so the Holy Spirit is not going to give you the answer directly. He's going to give it to somebody else around you when you're in fellowship with them. And then he's going to speak to you through them. Hello. And sometimes when you're not unsure about, did I hear God's voice? He's putting spiritual leaders around you so that when you submit yourself and go, hey, what do you think, that he'll speak through them and you'll get a clarity. So the Holy Spirit wants to speak, but he doesn't only want to speak in one way. That made a lot of sense in my head. Some of us get tempted to be the lone rangers of our own lives. And we think that we don't need the rest of the body of Christ, or we don't need to submit ourselves, or we don't need to be in dependence, and we don't need fellowship. So the Holy Spirit never works against himself. He never works against the Word of God, which is the sword of the Spirit. He never works against the finished work of the cross, because he understands the finished work of the cross. So he's never testifying about your sinfulness. He's always testifying about your righteousness, because when you came into Christ, that's his testimony about you. He's never testifying about your unworthiness. He's always testifying about the fact that the Father has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints of light. He's always testifying in conjunction with the truth, because he's called the Spirit of Truth. So he doesn't fight himself. He's always in line with the Word of God. He's always in line with the work of God. He's always in line with the nature of God, because he is God himself. Now, when we choose to cooperate, to respond, to eagerly desire to cooperate with him, it's always an advantage to us. Let me be careful about this, because the Holy Spirit is always going to be faithful to what Jesus said he would be doing. So my faithfulness towards him does not negate his faithfulness towards me. His faithfulness on my behalf is not dependent on my faithfulness. Are you hearing? Because the Bible says if we are faithless, he remains faithful because he cannot disown himself. So the Holy Spirit is going to be faithful to what Jesus said he was going to do, because the Holy Spirit is extremely faithful to Jesus. So he's going to guide you into all truth. He's going to convict the world with regard to sin, righteousness, and judgment. He's going to comfort you. He's going to counsel you. He's going to be all the things that Jesus said he was going to be, whether I'm responding to him or not. The difference is when I respond to him, when I lean in, when I'm hungry to cooperate with him, I have a brand new experience in my life of his cooperation. I experience his power. I understand what he's doing. It's so much more fun, my cooperation with him. But whether you cooperate or not, he's still going to be faithful to what Jesus said. Isn't that cool? It means it's not dependent on you. It's dependent on Jesus' faithfulness again. Sounds like the gospel to me. But the truth is that God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. That's what he's revealed himself as. And if you diligently seek and say, Holy Spirit, I really would like to know, could you teach me? Could you give me some wisdom? Is there some creativity? The Holy Spirit loves that, because he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And so when you press in, when you ask questions, when you knock, the door will be opened for you. And so when people say, well, he doesn't do this, I go, well, according to your faith and according to your passion, bless you. But that's not been my experience. My experience has been that he loves to talk. He loves to lead. He loves to guide. He loves to demonstrate. He loves to share his power. He loves to share himself. Many people say God does not speak by the Holy Spirit to us individually or regularly. And I'm just here to say that I have not found that to be true at all. So let's go to Romans 8. Therefore, brothers, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you'll die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified with him. He's talking about two different states of being. One, before you meet the Lord Jesus Christ, you are living according to the flesh. One, when you meet the Lord Jesus Christ and you're living according to the Spirit. And so he says, look, if you live like this, you're going to die. If you live like this, you will have life. The Spirit of God will bring life. But he says, those who are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Those people who are responding, being led, walking by the Spirit, living in the Spirit, having fellowship with the Spirit, those are the grown-up sons of God. Those are the people that Paul says, listen, if you want to measure who God's children are, those are the people. They're being led. So my question is today, imagine if this whole meeting, every single person in here was in sync with the Holy Spirit. What could the Holy Spirit orchestrate in this meeting if everybody in this room was attentive to his conducting of this service? What do you think would happen? If you surrendered now to the Holy Spirit and said, Lord, what do you want me to do? And you had the courage to obey whatever he told you. See, I think some of us would go and apologize. I'm so sorry I did that. I'm sorry I said that. That was out of line because the Holy Spirit said, hey, son, that wasn't the way to do that. Okay, Lord. I think some people would apologize. I think some people would go with encouragements to other people. Some of you would be stirred to pray for other people. Some would have prophetic words to speak. This is what the Lord is saying. This is what the Lord is calling you to. By the way, the Lord told me to go take hold of Colleen's hand because the Lord said to me that he was there's victory, Colleen. God's giving you an authority to lay hold of some things in the Spirit, and God wanted to encourage you and strengthen your hands. That's what the Spirit of God was doing right now with Colleen, just as we're doing that. If we could just listen to what the Holy Spirit was saying, he would be giving understanding. Some would have a hymn, some would have a word. What ministry, what life could the Holy Spirit orchestrate if we were all just attentive to his orchestration? That'd be a beautiful meeting. So this series we're in is dedicated to learning how to be led by the Holy Spirit. And I want to take, just by way of an overview, now we're going to scream through this. I'm doing what they tell you at Bible college, never do this. Never have a sermon with more than 3 points. You know, that just people can't handle. So I've got a 7-point sermon right here. And we haven't even started the 7 points yet. So we are going to scream through them because I want to give you 7 things that are overviews. These are the kinds of general areas that the Holy Spirit is working in. Why has the Holy Spirit been given to the church? In what ways will the Holy Spirit lead us? And I want to give you 7 things. I'm going to rush through them. I promise you I have good scripture for all of them. If those of you know me well, the scriptures will come up and the projection people will catch me if they can. The notes will be available online, so if you want them, you can pick them up. So here we go. 7 areas. Why has the Holy Spirit been given to us right now? Number 1 is to effect salvation. He is the Spirit of adoption. The Holy Spirit starts by convicting people of their sin and their need for a Savior and the righteousness and judgment of God. Then he draws us to God. Then he makes us alive in God when we're born again. Then he baptizes us, submerges us into the body of Christ. Then he seals us in the body of Christ. He is the seal of that. Then he fills us. Then he empowers us, then he gifts us, and then he constantly testifies to us and affirms that we are God's children. That is the process of salvation. That's what the Holy Spirit, all of that, intricately involved. The Holy Spirit loves doing that. And everybody you know that's not yet saved, that's somewhere on that process. The Holy Spirit is working with them. So when you and I want to be led by the Holy Spirit, especially when I'm with people who don't yet know the Lord, I'm always going, Holy Spirit, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to say? Because now we're in an adventure. Because I know that he's faithful to what Jesus said he would be faithful to. Jesus said he will convict the world with regard to sin, righteousness, and judgment. Jesus said he will testify of me, but you must also testify. So now I'm sitting here going, okay, Holy Spirit, I know that you're being faithful to what Jesus said. You're speaking to them. You're witnessing to them. And because he lives in me and I'm sitting with people who don't yet know the Lord, sometimes they start feeling uncomfortable because, not because I'm saying anything, but because the Spirit of God in me is convicting them. I've had people snap at me and I never said a word. Stop judging me. I go, I'm just here. Right? Because there's knots. So the question is, how do we cooperate with the Holy Spirit in this? Because there is a place, Jesus said to the Jews, you stiff-necked people, you always resist the Holy Spirit. So there is a place where people can stiffen themselves and not respond to the Holy Spirit. But part of what the Holy Spirit does, this whole area of salvation, he gives us born again. Jesus talked about in John 3, you were born by the Spirit, born from above. The Bible says constantly that the Spirit testifies with our spirit that we are, these scriptures that will come up, that he testifies with our spirit, you're a child of God. This whole process of salvation, Holy Spirit loves that. He loves to be part of it. He wants to invite you in. And if you and I are going to be led by the Holy Spirit, part of the way he's going to lead us, I'm assuming we're all saved, but part of the way he's going to lead us is into helping other people. We need to co-labor, partner with him in what he's trying to do in other people's lives. There's a massive, joyful, exciting adventure around this. It's part of what he wants to do. Secondly, oh, there's three pages of scriptures. So when the Holy Spirit hovered over creation, you know, there was a formless void, and the Spirit of God hovered over it, and God spoke, and the Holy Spirit executed the Word of God and created. The Spirit of God hovered over creation, so the Spirit of God hovers over the recreation of people. You were born of the Spirit, born from above. The Holy Spirit loves. He works around people. And so sometimes when you're around unbelievers, I just pray. Ooh, under your breath. Just say, Holy Spirit, yeah, what do you want me to do? And sometimes he'll whisper a little phrase to you or a concept. Don't try and move them from where they are across the line every time. Just move them the next three or four steps. Sometimes you can help them over the line, and that's a joy. But you don't have to close every time. Just move them downfield. How many of you heard the gospel more than once before you got saved? Yeah, look, and if it cost like 1,000 times for me, and so I don't mind. Praise God. Second one, freedom. Salvation, freedom. Now, this ability for the power of God to break us free from sin. When I met Jesus, He so blew into my life, and the power of God took over my life that 3 weeks into my salvation, I kind of came to my senses and realized that the things that used to hold me captive for 3 weeks, I hadn't even thought about them. They'd been so blown out of my life that I just, wow. Because the Holy Spirit loves to bring freedom. He loves to take what Jesus did on the cross and bring that power into our life. When you believe, it just boom, and he gives you a gift of victory over sin. And he loves to enforce that victory because you have become a brand new creature. You're filled with his power and you walk in a new way. And he loves to stir that. Now, you live in a world that is still sinful, that's still warped, that's still at enemy with God, that still has temptation. And so the Holy Spirit loves to walk with you and to lead you into a place where you remain free from sin. Because this world, some people, the Bible says, if somebody is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual, restore them gently. Hebrews talks about the sin that so easily entangles. Now, if you'll be led by the Holy Spirit, not only does he destroy the power of sin in your life, but he leads you in such a way that it'll help you walk free. And I've had many times when I've just felt like the hand of the Holy Spirit on my chest, just like, not for you, son. Okay, but they're all going there. He goes, yeah, but it's not for you. Well, how come not for me? Because it'll be bad for you. Because you're not in a good space to walk into that. Because you have other strengths, but this area is not one of yours. So I'm not, but they're all going, yeah, but they're okay. Not for you. Okay. But I have to learn to be led by the Holy Spirit. Well, I think I'm strong enough. Trust me, son. Come here. Come here with me. Just like you and a toddler, when they're about to bump their head on something, you go, hey, look over here. And then come over here. Because he knows. So it's not just the initial explosion of freedom, it's that you remain free from sin. This is the purview of the Holy Spirit. He loves to do this. He wants to help you walk out the victory of Jesus. Who is it that overcomes the world? He who believes. And he wants to provide a glorious freedom for you. Not just barely get by, glorious freedom. So you're free from the power of sin through the sanctifying work of the Spirit. You're free from having to respond to sin. in their scriptures. Now, if you follow the Holy Spirit's lead, you'll remain free. Because the scripture says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Now the Lord, 2 Corinthians 3, now the Lord, the Master, the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit is given lordship, there will be liberty. If you are submitting yourself, responding, honoring, hungering, leaning into the Spirit of God, you will have liberty in your life from everything. You'll be free indeed, absolutely free. Free from other people's opinion, free from the law, free from sin, free from condemnation. Ooh, sounds like a plan. Number three, power. Salvation, freedom, power. The Holy Spirit comes to give power to believers. You are supposed to be empowered by Him. It's one of His primary gifts so that you can proclaim His gospel fully. He always intended His gospel to be proclaimed alongside of the power given to us by the Holy Spirit. He forbade His disciples to go and preach the gospel until they'd been endued with power from on high. You're not allowed to go out and preach until the Holy Spirit gave you power. Because I don't want this to be an academic gospel. I want this to be a demonstration of the Spirit and power. I didn't say that. Jesus said that. People are like, this is a new teaching. Who can stand it? No, that's what Jesus said. Jesus never commissioned the 12, not the 72 or the church. Not once did He send somebody out without commissioning them with power. He said, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, drive out demons and tell them, hey, this is the kingdom of God. This is a strange teaching. Acts 1:8, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. Love this, Romans 15. Woo. Paul says, I'll never boast except what Christ has accomplished through me in leading Gentiles to obey God by the power of signs and wonders through the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem all the way round to Illyricum, I have fully proclaimed the gospel of Christ. Let me submit to you that you cannot fully proclaim the gospel of Christ until you step into the power given by the Holy Spirit and demonstrate in this world what He wants. When you experience the power of God, it's because the Holy Spirit wants you not just to have a personal testimony, but to take it out and take that power and that grace and that kindness and demonstrate it to a world. Because the world has heard that God hates them, but it's time for the ambassadors of Christ to go out and make this appeal. Be reconciled to God, and to demonstrate that by power and demonstration, to show up with signs and healings and wonders, to show up with a demonstration of God's kindness and provision, to show up with a provision of peace and joy before they deserve it. This is how kind God is. Let's demonstrate the gospel of God's grace by demonstrating how gracious He is. Then let's invite them. Hey, do you want to be reconciled to this God who just healed you? We had a service some years ago, and we were praying, and just the glory of God fell in the meeting. And just some people got healed, supernatural miracles. And I didn't give an altar call. And a guy came up to me and he goes, how do I meet Jesus? I said, don't you know Him? He goes, no. He says, you didn't give an altar call. It's like picking a fight with me. Because now he wants to give his life to the Lord. So I said, well, this is how we pray. So he prays a prayer. So he said, what about the Holy Spirit? So I said, do you want to receive? He goes, yeah. So I pray for him, and the power of God hit him, and he fell straight forward, boom, onto me. And I lay him down, and he lay on his face for about 45 minutes and just wept under the power of God. Then he got up and walked out. But you know, I thought, you don't need to explain some theology to him. He's sorted. God loves you. He's powerful. He moves today. He speaks today. He's got no theories left. Empowering believers is one of the favorite things the Holy Spirit loves to do. And he works with those who listen and respond. He's going to work with anybody, but it's better for you if you listen and respond. Number four, revelation. The Holy Spirit loves to give revelation, understanding, perception, wisdom. The Holy Spirit is all about truth. In fact, five times in the New Testament, he's called the Spirit of Truth. He loves to impart truth to people. He works against darkness. He brings light. He gives revelation. He gives understanding. Not the wisdom of this world, Paul says, but the wisdom that is from above. He gives you perception and understanding that you may understand what the will of the Lord is. For 1 Corinthians 2 says, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him, but God has revealed it to us by his Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God, so that he can make them known to you. The Holy Spirit loves to give revelation to the people of God. It's one of the reasons he's here on earth. He loves to bring revelation. He supplies wisdom and understanding, and he guides us into truth. It's one of the things that Jesus promised. He will guide you into all truth. The scriptures are called the sword of the Spirit because he wields them so powerfully and so effectively in our lives. John 16, he'll guide you into all truth. Colossians 1:9, through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives. The Spirit gives these things. He's called the Spirit of wisdom and the Spirit of knowledge and the Spirit of understanding, Spirit of the fear of the Lord, the four of the seven names of the Holy Spirit given in Isaiah. And the way he explains the truth cannot be understood by a carnal mind because they're spiritually discerned. But he causes believers to perceive and to understand what he is doing and what he is saying so that we can emulate and obey him. He loves to take us on adventures. Now, let me just give you the truth. This is how he works with me. He gives me a little piece. It's like a little piece of string sticking out of the ground. And I go, that's interesting. It's just a little something that captures my attention in the Word. It's just a little whisper of a concept. Now, if you don't pick it up, you just walk on by, and it was, for those 15 seconds, it was intriguing. But if you start picking at it, and you pull it a little, and then it'll unearth, and you start pulling it, and then it unearths a little. You can chase that down. I've been chasing stuff for 20 years. I'm still finding it in the Scriptures. It's like an adventure. Because the Holy Spirit goes, how much do you want? Because Jesus said he doesn't reward the casual inquirer. He rewards diligent seekers. And so a little bit of diligence on your part. Hey, I'd really like to know. Could you explain that to me, Holy Spirit? Could you open up this word to me? Could you give me some words? I need some creativity. Sometimes you have to work at it. But I'll tell you something. There's an adventure here for you. Do not tell me I'm one of those people that never hears from God. No, you're just one of those people who never pulls at the threads. Amen. I was trying to slap you with a smile. Some of you just took it, and some of you are still smiling. Number five, he loves to comfort. He loves to comfort. This word that he is the comforter is a concept that just, it's not just like you're in a terrible situation and he comes and holds you and says, oh, that's so sad. No, it's the kind of comfort that says, what is bugging you? I'm going to go sort that out. I'm going to go, what? Who hurt you? Come here. Let's go slap. Come watch me while I slap him. That is the kind of comforter that he is. I like that. Because he is at the same time the most ferocious warrior ever existed and the most gentle comforter at the same time. Towards me is the most gentle comforter, but towards his enemies. And don't ever be fooled that his enemies even come close to him. It's not like, ooh, maybe he's challenged. No. He's awesome in power. Ferocious. Jealous. The Spirit he caused to live in us, as the Bible says, envies jealously. He's jealous over you. He's ferocious. He's fierce. He's called the paraclete. In John, Jesus said, I will send you another paraclete. A para means alongside, and kaleo means called. The one who's called alongside. Parakaleo. I'll give you another paraclete, the one who is like an advocate, like a legal assistant, somebody who pleads for you. They plead somebody else's cause. Jesus has become our paraclete in heaven. Jesus went back to sit at the right hand of God to be the one who sits, stands alongside and represents mankind to God. But the Holy Spirit has been sent down to earth to be the one who represents the Father to us. So the Holy Spirit goes, I don't know what to do. He goes, you want to know what the Father thinks? Yeah. He comforts us with the Father's perspective, with the Father's wisdom, with His creativity. He's been the one who's sent to come alongside us to help, to represent the Father to us. It's very cool. I will ask the Father, and He will give you another parakaleo to help you, to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept Him because it neither sees Him or knows Him, but you will know Him, for He lives with you and will be in you. He's an extremely skillful, powerful helper. Do not make the mistake of assuming that He is without power. I'm learning that He is the most powerful person ever. So when you start praying, go, Lord, I'm facing this giant. Could you come and lean on him for me? Just put one hand on him. Just lean on him, Jesus. He's working out God's plan perfectly. He's going to see the victory entirely. Number six, Holy Spirit is about working the nature, the character of Jesus. Character is what He's involved in. He wants to manifest the character of Jesus in you. When He gave you a brand new life, He created a brand new nature. You were created in the nature of Jesus. He cut the old nature off you. He circumcised that away. He put to death the old you. He raised you up to a new place. He's filled you with His nature and His power. And He wants to. He's constantly working in us this issue of character. He wants us to become more and more in the image of Jesus to a world that can't see Him. And as we surrender to the Lordship and to the leading of the Holy Spirit, He will make Jesus more and more manifest through our lives. Jesus already accomplished everything for us when He died on the cross. He washed us clean. He killed our old self. He gave us eternal life. He called us to a new day. And the Holy Spirit cooperates with all of that reality. But He is going to want to drive from our lives to demonstrate the nature of Jesus. So the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. This is what He produces in us. And 2 Corinthians 3 says, and we who all with unveiled faces all reflect or contemplate the Lord's glory are being transformed into His image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. This ever-increasing glory, this ever-increasing demonstration of the character of Jesus, the Holy Spirit's all about that in our lives. So if you're an old Christian who's been a Christian for 45 years and you're sour and mean, I just want to say to you, stop it. Let's be people, as we get older, more full of the beauty of love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness, gentleness and faithfulness and self-control. Let's be those people. Because those are the people who are demonstrating they're led by the Holy Spirit. How do you know? Because they love everybody. Number seven, hope. The Holy Spirit loves to stir hope in us. And hope has got to be built up in our lives so that we can grow up and become mature. Hope, the Bible says, does not disappoint us. Romans 15, may the God of all hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. One of the things the Holy Spirit wants to teach us is to overflow with hope no matter what circumstances we're in. I want it to be so that when I get into a tough set of circumstances, people start to whisper, does he even understand the trouble he's in? Because he doesn't seem to be clicking. Because if he understood the kind of problems he was in, he'd be sad and scared and depressed, but he's full of hope. Well, that's exactly what the Holy Spirit wants to do. I'm overflowing with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit, not by the excellence of my circumstances. I'm overflowing with hope. And that hope needs to be a waterfall that consistently flows in my life. And it's one of the things the Holy Spirit loves to do. He loves to stir hope in the believers. And so that the Bible says that the rest of the world thinks it's strange that you don't plunge with them into the same flood of dissipation. And they wonder about you. What is going on with these people? The rest of us are getting drunk and life, we're all going to die. And the Christians are going, praise God. Let me bring up the slide with all seven. Salvation, freedom, power, revelation, comfort, character, and hope. Seven major areas of the Holy Spirit's moving on this earth. And if we're going to be led by the Holy Spirit, He's going to lead us in all seven. All seven of these is an invitation from God, not to a one-time event, but to an ongoing expansion of revelation in each of these areas. Let me give you a few principles, and then we're through. If we're going to be those people who say, I want to be led by the Holy Spirit, I want to hear His voice, I want to respond to Him in my daily life, then here's a few pointers for you. Number one. When the Holy Spirit gives you a specific direction, it's going to be clear to you. It's not going to be vague to you. If it is vague to you, but you still feel like the Holy Spirit spoke it, that's exactly the time to call one of the spiritual leaders around you and say, hey, can I have a talk to you? Because I'm feeling like something. Can we talk this through? That's perfect. But usually when the Holy Spirit speaks to you, you are not going to be in any doubt. Set apart Paul and Barnabas for the work to which I've called them. He said to Ananias, go down to the straight street to in Joppa, to the home of Simon the Tanner, and there you'll find a man named Saul, and then invite him to come here. It's not like, okay, so what should I do? Philip, he said, hey, Philip, stay near that chariot. When the Holy Spirit speaks to you, it's a very specific word to you, and you'll know exactly what He's talking about, and when He does, go for it. Secondly, when He speaks a word to you, it's not a general word, so don't put it on somebody else. Philip didn't start the first church of the chariot chasers. Philip didn't chase every chariot he saw after that. He chased that chariot and had an encounter and was translated from one city to another. It wasn't a word for everybody. It was a word for that moment. So don't put it on everybody. Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted. But that's not usual for you and I. And if there isn't a specific command or something specific that you feel like the Holy Spirit's saying, then go ahead as you planned or in your understanding of truth or in line with the Word of God. You don't need a word. I didn't go to work today because the Holy Spirit never told me. No, if go. If you won't work, you won't eat, the Bible says. Well, I'm not sure that I should be going and preaching the gospel. No, well, Jesus said to everybody, go and preach the gospel. You don't need a specific word. but the Holy Spirit hasn't said anything to me today, so I'm going to be inactive. No. Go. Do what you know is right. Lastly, go along for the adventure. The most fun I've had in my adult life is in adventures inspired by the Holy Spirit. The most fun and the most miracles along this road. What happens if I miss it? Well, then you take responsibility for it and say, I missed God. I'm so sorry. I've done that a bunch of times too. But more than that, I've seen God's power change people's lives. I've seen the Spirit of God bring supernatural healing. I've seen lives transformed. I've seen the power of God change, give hope, stir people. What I would give to see more of that. Those that are led by the Spirit of God, those are the sons of God. Let's pray. Lord Holy Spirit, we want to say thank you for the magnificent person that you are and for the profound way you have come to effect beauty in our lives. We give you honor, Lord, for all of these things. Lord, you have called us to salvation and to freedom. You give us your power and your revelation. You see to our comfort and to our character, and you cause us to overflow with hope. We give you honor and praise. is so beautiful, Lord. And we appreciate you beyond our ability to express. In the next few weeks, Lord, teach us more as we press in to learn about who you are and what you do. And help us grow strong and mature in these things. In Jesus' name, amen.